Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com. Minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Thursday morning, January 21st, 2021. Good morning, everybody. I'm Scott Micklin, and thank you for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County. In the Durango, Colorado area, we're at 103.3 FM, and no matter where you are on the planet, we're at KSJE.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program streaming live this morning to the KSJE Facebook page, our Twitter account, and even our YouTube channel this morning. So we're glad that you are with us, however you found your way here. Thanks for coming in this morning, everybody. My guests in the next few moments from San Juan County Commission Chairman John Beckstead will be joining me this morning. Also, County Manager Mike Stark will be talking about a number of county projects that are underway. That's coming up in the next few moments right here on KSJE. The next hour, of course, it is our COVID-19 Community Information Program. We'll be streaming it live at 9 on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can hear it later on the radio this afternoon at 5:06 p.m. Megan Cullop will be here with me, my trusty co-host. And this morning, we'll be speaking with Dr. Erin Philpott from San Juan Regional Medical Center, getting some new information from her about the vaccines that are rolling out and also about this virus and some of the different forms of the virus that we're hearing about, some of which have made their way to New Mexico. So we'll hear more about that later on next hour online on KSJE. Of course, Jeff Bourgeois will be joining us as well for our weekly update on conditions and patient numbers at the hospital. And this morning also from the Small Business Development Center, we'll be hearing from Carmen Martinez, the director of the SBDC, about some new federal programs that are being made available to local businesses. So we hope you'll make plans to join us at 9 for that program coming up today right here on KSJE. Of course, social media, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter live at 9 and a rebroadcast on the radio at 5:06. And, of course, you can hear it at noon on our partner radio station, KNMI 88.9. On the radio at 9, Mick Hess will be here roving with the arts this morning. Mick has playing some patriotic music for us on this Thursday, and that is coming up, so we hope you will join us for that. And composer Ives is behind some of these compositions that you'll be hearing today at 9:06 on KSJE on Roving with the Arts. Don't forget, of course, we invite you to connect with us on Instagram in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And let's talk about the weather this morning. We have some frozen fog in the air outside, 19 degrees at our studios here at San Juan College. We're expecting a partly cloudy day today. Maybe some more flurries in the air, although we didn't see much yesterday. But today's high, 47 in Farmington, down to 24 overnight. Maybe a chance of some rain showers tomorrow with a high of 49 on Friday. 47 with more chances for a frozen mix of rain or snow on Saturday. Colder with a chance of snow showers on Sunday and a high of 39. Same thing for Monday and on into Tuesday, Wednesday with another chance of snow showers in the forecast and highs right around in the 30s. Joining me this morning to talk a little bit about conditions here in San Juan County, some ongoing projects, of course. San Juan County Manager Mike Stark is here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Good to see you and have you here as well. Also joining us here in the studio, the new chairman of the San Juan County Commission, John Beckstead, is here. Chairman Beckstead, good morning to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to have you here as well. Thank you for coming in. And let's get started by talking a little bit about how the new year is shaping up. And, of course, the state legislature just started this week, a couple days ago, on Tuesday. What does that mean for San Juan County? Waiting and watching, I suppose, right, Mike Starr?
We are, Scott. Every year it's a challenge to gear up for the legislative session, and of course this year will be an extremely different version of what...
You're not driving back and forth to Santa Fe, I suppose.
We are not driving back and forth to Santa Fe. That part is nice.
Yeah.
Obviously with the snow we had on Tuesday would have been made for difficult travel conditions, but
right.
But you know, it's being a virtual setting or semi-virtual setting. I think they're calling it a hybrid setting. That is going to be somewhat challenging in terms of making sure that our voice is heard, because we don't have that opportunity to be at the roundhouse to have that direct contact with our legislators. And oftentimes it's not just our legislators here locally; it's legislators from other parts of the state that we need to be in contact with. So, yeah, this session will certainly be different. You know, the roundhouse, they're only allowing attendance from legislators, their staff, and a small number of media members. And so we'll have to see how virtually, certainly during committee meetings, are we going to be able to provide the type of input that we've been accustomed to in the past.
Right. Interesting. And, of course, that is the idea that some of these things would be open virtually, and so folks, the public even, could be watching, hearing, monitoring what's going on at some of these meetings.
Yes, and you know, in the past, the legislative session has and legislature has been good about webcasting committee
right.
meetings and the sessions of the House and the Senate. But, you know, the committee meeting part will be the most difficult part of making sure that folks can be heard, citizens, advocacy groups, lobbyists, all the different folks that are part of a legislative session, helping to provide good input and in some cases helping to educate folks on the issues.
Right. And some of those committee meetings have been open and some maybe have been not so open, which has been a cause of some discussion in the past.
Correct.
And
correct.
So that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
Chairman Beckstead, let me bring you into the conversation too a little bit. Is there anything that you're watching in Santa Fe, some of the legislation that certainly would benefit San Juan County, we would hope?
Well, so there are a few different things that we're watching. The governor is proposing it's a $7.3 billion budget this year. It is down from last year. There are a few different things that we're looking at. Obviously, they're looking at readdressing or looking at the Energy Transition Act.
And that was that major piece of legislation that was passed, right, to kind of help with the PNM's exit from the San Juan Generating Station and actually had some money for economic development for this area and things along that line, just to remind our listeners of what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that piece of legislation was crucial to San Juan County in the ways that it has affected us. And the opportunity to revisit it and perhaps implement some of the things that our local senators and representatives have been saying all along should have been in there. I think they're going to be looking at some of those issues, realizing that there were some problems with it and that it may have been rushed just a little bit.
I'm shocked to hear you say that legislation may have been rushed through in Santa Fe. Can you be specific as to a couple of the things that you think need to be tweaked a little bit or changed in that act? Or Mike Stark, do you have
sure.
some thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, I think so. It was interesting. Obviously, the makeup of the House and the Senate, they're democratically controlled. 45-25 advantage in the House and 27-15 advantage in the Senate. And, of course, then the governor is a Democrat as well. So they have full control of the session. And so knowing that Enchan Energy may need a couple of tweaks to give them the opportunity to get to the finish line on their project, it would be helpful to have the Energy Transition Act opened up. That wasn't going to happen unless there was a call from the Democratic side wanting to do that. And they want to do that on the Democrat side because they're seeing that, as Chairman Bechstead mentioned, the bill was rushed. And what they couldn't possibly envision in an 82-page bill that was passed in a fairly quick time frame, one of the provisions in there that it allows PNM to capture 100% of their costs whenever a plant closes. Well, everybody assumed that would be coal-fired plants. Well, PNM's interpretation of that is it's coal-fired plants, it's natural gas plants, it's nuclear plants, which they have a nuclear interest in Palo
Verde.
That's
right, in Arizona.
And all of those costs can be passed on directly to the ratepayers without any oversight from the PRC. And so that's what's causing, in the minds of many legislators, the need to revisit that provision quickly. And then once the bill is opened, hopefully some minor tweaks that are advantageous to Enchant, give them the opportunity, by no means give them the absolute ticket for success, but it would certainly help them along their way, and they've made great progress to date. So we're hopeful to see them end up becoming and continuing operations of San Juan Generating Station.
Is there some concerns, though, that by maybe going back into this act that's been passed, then changing it could get changed for the worse and not the better?
There is always that potential. And we could talk about a couple of the solar projects that we're going to receive the benefit from on here.
Right.
The commission took action on Tuesday. Or at least took action on one and heard a presentation on the other.
All right, we'll do that.
So we should talk about that because those were components of that bill that ultimately have made it through the Public Regulation Commission, and 430 megawatts of power now needs to be located in San Juan County in the Central Consolidated School District, and that's what both of those projects do.
Right, and that was in that legislation, in the Energy Transition Act. Is there any other legislation that you're watching that would impact San Juan County?
The one that's of most importance to us, and it's actually of utmost importance to the state at large, and I say our professional organizations, New Mexico counties, there are 33 counties in the state. We're represented by that collective or organization, and then the New Mexico Municipal League. But the House Bill 4, the New Mexico Civil Rights Act, is actually a piece of legislation that really could cause problems for all of the governmental entities that today either purchase their insurance through the pool, or in our case, we're not part of the insurance pools associated with those two entities I previously mentioned. We actually independently procure our insurance, but that act could potentially cause uninsurability for agencies or dramatically increase premiums because it causes a new state cause of action to file civil rights claims here within the state court system. To date, those cases have been heard in federal court, and the standard for moving those cases through is a much higher standard and burden. Federal courts are a much more stringent body, and what it could lead to, because of some of the provisions in the bill, is basically there are no caps that would be put on judgments for some of these civil rights claims. Some of these would be, today can follow through with claims through the New Mexico tort law, but that's capped at $1,050,000. And the plaintiff's attorneys are really the ones who are pushing this bill and want to see this ultimately get to the finish line. This is actually a bill that was introduced during the special session this summer, and they thought that it would just kind of run through.
Passed?
We're glad it didn't.
Ultimately,
it was determined this was too hasty. Let's have a Civil Rights Commission review what this could potentially mean to local entities, specifically law enforcement. The goal was to try to offset and deal with some of the concerns that came out of the George Floyd incident, and obviously want to make sure that those types of law enforcement abuses are rightfully punished. But in this case, we're trying to really create a pretty lucrative pool of funding for plaintiffs' attorneys that would pursue these cases through the state court system versus the federal court system. And ultimately, some of these judgments that could arise where the burden of proof associated with seeing success, it's not just what this bill is indicating, essentially have to meet a burden of negligence, where in the federal court, it has to be deliberate indifference. It has to shock the conscience.
Hmm.
And so ultimately, you've got to really prove that you've got a violation of somebody's civil rights. And this ultimately could lead to small law enforcement agencies potentially no longer being able to exist. They couldn't afford the insurance to exist.
Gotcha.
And so it's a dramatic piece of legislation that's really caught the eye of any public entity, because this is the other thing. It's targeted more in being sold as a bill that's to help law enforcement reform. But the reality is it actually captures all forms of government, if you read the bill, all the way from a county commissioner, a county manager, higher ed, public schools teachers potentially would now fall under this category. And it just creates a pathway, in our opinion, that's really just it's more of the plaintiff's attorney's bill of rights than it is anything else. And so that's our concern.
Well-intentioned, but maybe off the mark a little bit.
And potentially very expensive and costly to government entities.
Right. Commissioner?
And the increased personal liability to, like, our sheriff's deputies, you know, I think the bill said that if they failed to activate their body-worn camera, that was a per se admission that they were doing something wrong. So by not
automatically,
automatically, if you don't activate your camera, you must be doing something wrong. It couldn't be that you're thinking about, 100 different things, trying to make sure that you're not getting killed, those types of things. Obviously you're planning on doing something nefarious as an officer. So, you're automatically deemed to have done something wrong if you don't activate your camera. And, those types of things just, they don't make sense. And we have a system that percolates, that deals with everything, gets all of the facts, and when you put that blanket-type language in legislation, it just creates a situation where it's almost impossible to recruit, hire, and keep those that do a good job.
Understood. Well, that's something to watch for, as you said, so yeah. We will be doing that as well. Let me go back to this solar field topic that you mentioned earlier. As part of the Energy Transition Act, we know that there is some replacement power if the San Juan Generating Station closes and PNM plans to exit. Enchant is planning to keep the plant going, but no matter what, they still need to replace some of that power for PNM and their customers, and that's what this is about. And so there are, I'm trying to remember, two or three
two different projects.
Solar projects.
Two different projects.
Two different ones for San Juan County that were part of the Energy Transition Act to replace some of that power. And so these are moving forward, and the county is helping to make that happen, or needs to be in the plan to make that happen, right?
Absolutely. In fact, as I mentioned earlier, Tuesday evening, the commission started the process with PhotoSol. They're looking to construct a 200-megawatt solar plant, 100-megawatt battery plant here. So that's 300 megawatts of the 430 I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And they're asking for industrial revenue bonds. And the unique piece to this, because of the Energy Transition Act, normally when we have projects of this size and scope, there's usually some form of property tax abatement that's requested by the developer, and that's an incentive to get them to locate their project here. Well, their project has to be located here per the Energy Transition Act.
And specifically the Central Consolidated School District.
Specifically the Central Consolidated School District, thank you. And it has to pay full property taxes to the three entities today that receive the benefit of those taxes. So that's CCSD, Central Consolidated School District, San Juan College, and San Juan County. And so that project ultimately is going to lead to $450 million of capital investment in our county. It's located just 5 miles, just for the listeners today to to know it's located 5 miles northeast of San Juan Generating Station, so you wouldn't be visible per se from any of the local highways. 350 to 400 short-term construction jobs, 6 to 9 month length
right,
jobs.
Right.
5 to 6 full-time jobs, which is great. Anytime we can add a job to the economy, that's a good thing. But
right.
The concern is, of course,
it doesn't replace the other jobs that could be going away from the mine or the plant.
Correct.
The coal-fired plant.
Correct.
But that is this renewable energy. That's what happens. This isn't a one-to-one job replacement.
Not at all.
But that's that's one of these projects, and there's a second one, too.
Another project is 8 Minute Solar. They're a company based in California. They would be looking to construct a 100-megawatt solar plant with a 30-megawatt battery storage component. $140 million of capital investment into the county. It would be located just north of Riverview Golf Course on two pieces of state trust land, two large parcels, I should say, of state trust land. 175 to 350 short-term construction jobs, and they would ultimately, upon completion, and they're up and running, create 4 full-time positions.
Gotcha. And that sounds like that might be more visible, at least to the community, maybe not from the highway, but certainly in that neighborhood, you might see some of that construction.
You would potentially see that up in that area. Yeah.
Got you. And Chairman Beckstead, I mean, again, as Mr. Stark said, anytime you can add a job in San Juan County, it's worth celebrating, even 5 at a time. We'll take it.
Absolutely. And what I'm most excited about is the opportunity for Enchant to continue. And for us to get these renewables, you know, it could be, you know, a double bonus for the county, for CCSD, and for the college. You know, it's I'm just thankful that we're able to secure, especially for CCSD, because, and the college, they're in pretty vulnerable positions as far as, you know, they've have bonds that they have to be paying, and if we don't have these property taxes coming in, those bonds don't get paid, and you know, it puts the Department of Education in a bad situation, because I don't think they're going to let those bonds go bad or default on those bonds. So ultimately it helps the entire state, but definitely our local entities.
Sure, and with a good point. And again, the idea was to replace that power from PNM, at least part of it, replace part of the property tax and some of that valuation that was going away if that plant were to close. I think one of the big discussions when this was all taking place was that maybe it wasn't replacing all of the value and all of the property taxes that were going away and all of the energy, because there are some other projects in some other counties that are being talked about as well, but at least it replaces a good percentage of it. And if we can keep Enchant going, but again, there are critics that would say that project doesn't seem feasible, although they seem to be moving forward with that idea of carbon mm-hmm. capture and keeping this plant going and being able to run it a lot more efficiently, a lot more cleanly mm-hmm. than has ever been done before.
And we just heard from Enchant recently. They presented at our commission meeting, I believe, the one before last, beginning of January, and they gave us their timeline, and they seem to be on track, and you know, we're grateful for their interest in our community and their interest in making this project happen, and they're moving forward as though you know their position is they're not off track, they're ready to go, and they gave us a timeline that seemed to match up with everything that's going to be required by the ETA.
That Energy Transition mm-hmm. Act, right. Gotcha. Understood. Well, we're fingers crossed, because I think we'd all like to see it. We'd all like to see those jobs maintained here in San Juan County. And if we can add to it and add to the property value with these solar projects, that's what you're talking about, that would be a win-win for these entities that we're talking about. And certainly, full disclosure, you know, KSJE is a San Juan College radio station, so that would impact San Juan College as we're talking about. So there you go. Let's change gears just a little bit. I want to talk about the movie industry, because I'm always ready for my close-up, and so are all of you. Tota Theater, right? This is something that the county has has purchased, and now the city is getting involved a little bit, but there's some renovations going on to the Totem.
Correct. Yeah, we were the recipient in the past two legislative sessions of two grants totaling $1.5 million, and a big
thank
you.
That's significant.
Absolutely significant. A big thank you to our legislators for making that happen. If you actually look over the last couple of years, and of course the state was a much better financial position, San Juan County, just our entity, so this isn't San Juan County as a whole, but we were the recipient of over $14 million of capital outlay. A large percentage of that was directed towards improvements at San Juan Regional, but nonetheless, here's a great example of a project that benefited from $1.5 million. We were able to purchase the historic Totaw Theater, as you mentioned, and actually today we're going to start with a pre-construction meeting with Janes to kick that project off, and if all goes well, the hope is we'll be able to open the doors. And I truly do hope we'll be able to open the doors come August and invite folks into the theater.
We can't do that today, but maybe by August we can.
Yes. Yeah, so the timing's actually really not bad for undertaking this project, going through a construction process, and not being open.
Right.
Yeah, no doubt. This will serve as the film hub, production hub for the film effort here in San Juan County. The hope, of course, is not just to make it a local venue for theatrical acts and performances here that can certainly be hosted there. It's to actually bring, the film industry that tends to today be located more in the Middle Rio Grande corridor than the Albuquerque Santa Fe area. Of course, big announcement here recently with a $1 billion investment from Netflix. That we can siphon off a couple of those projects up here, and we've had great success in the past. Jumanji 2,
right.
Beyond the Reach. I mean, plenty of examples of how our area is primed and ready to handle those types of productions, and of course then ultimately receive the benefits that come from 200 and 300, folks on site for 2 to 3 weeks in our hotels and eating in our restaurants and then consuming all the products and services they need to put on a production like that. And so ultimately, that's the goal, and it's to take advantage of what the state has made a priority for a number of years over a couple different administrations, that we've got a competitive advantage here in film. And, of course, a big part of that's the tax credit.
Right, that doesn't
hurt.
The
state offers, and we potentially could offer the maximum tax credit to productions looking to come to our area because of legislation passed last year that added a 5% incentive if they come to rural areas.
If they go outside the Rio Grande corridor.
That's correct.
So that was exciting to see. And so for folks who may be concerned about, oh my goodness, what are they going to do to the Totaw Theater? We love it just the way it is. You're renovating it, not necessarily changing. It's still going to be a theater, but there's some office space and some other things that are part of the renovations, probably some ADA and some other safety renovations that I think are part of this construction that you're talking about. Is that kind of what you're thinking of for the Totaw?
That's absolutely right. We're going to maintain the historic nature of the facility, but upgrade it to make sure it's ADA compliant, upgrade some of the finishes and make sure that they're in good shape, the lighting, the sound system. So all those things are part of that. And then, of course, office space. There's office space up above. The goal there is to make that space that would be attractive to folks coming from the Albuquerque area that need office space while they're here with their production. And of course, then long-term is to build that as a gathering place here in our community for folks that want to rub elbows with filmmakers or want to come down and catch out and catch a new flick that will have the capacity to show in that venue. So, no, it's exciting to be able to take a historic venue like that and kind of spiff it up and then make it available for the community and then make it available for the schools and then most importantly the industry so that we can attract productions up here and ultimately create jobs.
Right.
Well, and really what better place to have, you know, that hub than downtown Farmington? You know, I kind of have a soft spot for downtown. I love it down there. The new street project that they completed down there is beautiful. It opens it up. It, you know, can't
now
say.
Now you can have some red carpet events out in front of that theater when the time comes.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
And you know, the possibilities are really limitless with that facility in the downtown And can't say enough with how great it looks down there now that all those projects are completed or close to completed.
Right. It's exciting to see.
It is. And I should mention we're doing this in partnership with the city of Farmington. They're contributing to the improvements. Ultimately, we'll own and operate the facility by agreement when it's completed. They've got the internal capacity to kind of manage a facility like that. And so to Chairman Beckstead's point, it's great to have it in downtown Farmington, and it's also great to have the city of Farmington as a partner.
Absolutely.
In that
right.
project.
And I guess for taxpayers, too, to know that, you know, you've reached out to the city of Farmington because they already have the Civic Center and some other venues, and so they kind of have that infrastructure in place, and the TOTA then could continue to be another performance space or things like that along with the Civic Center, Sandstone, Lions Wilderness Park Amphitheater, all those other things that the city already manages and maintains.
Well, you know, it's unique in that it has the live soundstage as well as the ability to show film, and I don't think there's any other facility in the area that has that ability, and you know, so that's really unique. It opens up opportunities for everyone.
Sure.
And you know, it's one of those projects that it's exciting in that, you know, it's not focused singularly on one thing. Well, it is on the film industry and performing, but it's the broad range of those performances and that industry.
Right, right. Well, it's a great addition, as you said, to downtown, I think to San Juan County entertainment venues and things along that line, too. And part of that grant, Mike Starr, correct me if I'm wrong, was also to kind of have a back lot or... is that the right term?
Correct, back lot.
Back lot,
yes,
for film productions and things like that. And so some of this money that you've talked about that we San Juan County, mm-hmm. receive from the state is going to identify and develop some of that kind of outside maybe the city limits, certainly within the county, to attract some of these filmmakers as well who want to film in the open, wild, northwest New Mexico scenery, right?
Correct. No, and that's exactly going to be the end game. We need to work through a substantial part of the construction process, make sure that we've got funding kind of fully committed to that project to make sure it's completed in full. And then the remaining dollars from that, we anticipate being in the $350,000 range if all goes well during construction. Sometimes on historic buildings, you never know what you're going to find.
Well, that's true. Anybody who watches cable television probably sees that all the time.
But all goes well. We would then, we've already hired an architect to help us with the backlot design. Don Gray, he was formerly the locations director for the New Mexico Film Office. So he knows what production companies are looking for when it comes to backlot space. And so we've got the right person there helping us with that. We just need to make sure we've got a reasonable budget for him to work with. And so we've got conceptual design, haven't kind of up in between, we're considering two different properties, but eventually once we've moved to the next step, and we'll move very quickly.
Right.
Because we've already put a lot of that in place in terms of having the architect evaluate sites and evaluate conceptual designs.
Very good. Well, it's exciting. And again, congratulations and thanks to the state and the delegation to get that money that makes all this possible, because it's projects like this that the county probably could do on its own, but it would be a stretch to come up with that type of dollar amount. I mean, we're talking $1 million plus, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, Tototaw Theater renovations, just over $1 million.
Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. And you're right. You know, these large major capital infrastructure projects, to fund those locally would absolutely be a challenge. And so we are thankful to have the state's assistance to do that and make these improvements and create this long-lasting space in downtown Farmington.
Very good. We just have a minute or so remaining this morning together. Gentlemen and Chairman Beckstead, I want to turn to you a little bit about your new position. Congratulations, as now chairman of the San Juan County Commission, and you welcomed some new county commissioners to the dais as well this month.
We did. We have Steve Lanier is in district, is it district 3? District
3, I think I remember, from the Aztec area, right?
The Aztec area, south towards Bloomfield. He's new to the commission. Also new to the commission is Terry Fortner. She replaced her husband, Jack Fortner, Often make the joke that we're glad that we have the better qualified Fortner on the commission now. And
as a lawyer, you maybe can do that. I don't know. And chairman. Yeah.
But I'm excited to be able to work with them. Still on the commission is Commissioner Glogene Totacini and Mike Sullivan, both of who've done well, done good things for the county, and appreciate their efforts, and really look forward to working with this new commission to keep San Juan County moving forward and in the right direction.
Well, very good. Well, congratulations. Unfortunately, it looks to be another challenging year, budget-wise and things like that. But again, Mike Stark, you were telling me before we came on the air this morning that things aren't as maybe bad as you first thought they would be when you look at revenue and things like that. And so maybe if there's any positivity here, that would be one message to send out this morning.
It is. Yeah. When we, of course, monthly, we're evaluating revenue streams into the county. And this year, budgeted gross receipts tax, which is our largest form of revenue to the county coffers, anticipated to be down 16%. It's only down 11%. So I certainly would consider that oddly a win. Right. You wouldn't say being down 11% is good at any, but relative to what we budgeted, we're certainly a little bit ahead of where we stand. I just hope that, and this is a plea to the community, I know you've talked about it a lot on the COVID show, that we need to get folks out to get vaccines. And so please, that's if we can do that, we can get our businesses reopened quicker, our schools reopened, get our economy reopened. And so I hope that folks see it wise and fit to go on to the vaccinenm.org site and get registered. And we've got six different sites now available in San Juan County by appointment only, based upon the distribution and allocation schedule set by the state. So we're in phase 1B. But get out ahead of that and get registered and get your shot. And let's get San Juan County back open so we can resume activities as we did previously.
There you go. And as the amount of vaccines increase, that's the idea, is that they will go through that list of people that have pre-registered on that website and contact them to make an appointment to go get their vaccine. And that's the way, and that is one of the ways to get to green, as we talk about, right? We are still in the red zone, if you will, and I know a lot of folks are working to make that happen. And absolutely, you're right, that would be the way to get back to some of these things that we all miss. So we're looking forward to that. Yep. Wonderful. Thank you both for coming in this morning. Chairman Beckstead, appreciate it very much. Again, congratulations.
Thank you, Scott.
Good to see you. Mike Stark, always great to see you. Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Same here.
Very good. Thank you very much. My guest this morning from San Juan County here with me on KSJE.
KSJE is supported by the University of Denver Graduate School of Social Work, Four Corners Program. The program is for the standing MSW program starting this summer 2021. Students with a bachelor's degree in social work are eligible for the one-year program. Complete an application by January 15, 2021, and the application fee is waived. Stipends in child welfare and opioid workforce expansion and Native American tuition support to eligible students are available. Find out more from Janelle.Doughty, D-O-U-G-H-T-Y, at du.edu. or at du.edu/social work.